This is The Scoop, a weekly regional roundup of stories from remote radio stations in British Columbia. Each week, The Scoop features news created by fellow LJI journalists in the communities of Smithers, Prince George, Nanaimo, Burnaby, and the Comox Valley. LJI is the local journalism initiative, and it's how your best local news is funded on these participating stations. Now, let's see what's happening this week in BC.
Today on The Scoop, a new exhibition brings Shayless art back to the Bill Reed Gallery. Jesse Wensloff at CJSF in Burnaby has more. On Vancouver Island, the Snemoc First Nation could soon vote in the next municipal election in October, as the City of Nanaimo and the SFN announce a joint effort to change the city boundaries. Lauren McKenzie at CHLY Nanaimo has that story. In Smithers, Rock Talk 2026 draws nearly 100 delegates from across the province to discuss mineral exploration. Pam Hassan at CICK News dives in. I'm Daniel Messick, and you're listening to The Scoop.
A new exhibition guest curated by Snemoc artist Elliot Whitehill, Colwasselton, has taken over the Bill Reed Gallery. Every river has a mouth, is guided by the concept of the river as a physical and symbolic connector, and highlights the deep cultural, linguistic, and artistic relationships between the interior and Coast Salish peoples of British Columbia. I'm Jesse Wensloff, and I spoke with guest curator Elliot Whitehill, Colwasselton, at the exhibition's open.
My name is Elliot Whitehill Colwasselton. I'm an artist and storyteller from the Snanaimoc First Nation, and I'm the guest curator of the show Every River Has a Mouth here at the Bill Reed Gallery.
Have you curated a show at a gallery before?
This is my second time. So I curated a museum exhibit at the Nanaimo Museum that ran in 2023 for a year. So this is my second time, and then I have another show coming up at the Field Museum in Chicago in April.
What do you like about curating?
I really love that with curating, it's still storytelling, but it's a totally different way to tell a story by bringing together artists and allowing them to do their thing, you know, to make their work. With this show, one thing that I really loved was coming up with a prompt, with the title, kind of the concept and the narrative brief. And then I shared that with the artists and asked them to respond to it. And, you know, I left it open where I said, you can either create new work for the exhibit or it can be pre-existing work. But I want you to think about the themes here and what it means to be carrying our art and culture forward to you in your own way. And really thrilled with the responses that we got from all the artists. The title, Every River Has a Mouth, and the subtitle, The Visual Languages That Connect Us, really drawing on the imagery of the river, how central it is to Salish culture, both coast and interior Salish, and really drawing on the language. Like, I learned that for Snanaimoc, where I'm from, the word kun is language. It's a suffix, but when it's on its own, it means throat. And there's the mouth of the river kind of as like a saying, right? So I wanted to draw on that imagery and to talk about how, much like our languages, much like the river, much like our art and culture, there's something that's always being renewed, they're shifting and evolving. But despite, like with the river, never being the same water at any one point in time, it's always the same river. So thinking about that metaphorically for our art and culture.
Did your understanding of the theme or the title change as you saw the art coming in?
Yeah, totally. Like, everybody has just responded so beautifully and is sharing their own teachings. You know, originally we were really focusing on Coast Salish, and I really admire all the artists in this exhibit, and Alia and I were talking about who should be in it, and we were like, why are we not including interior Salish artists as well? And that connection between Coast and interior Salish hasn't been talked about enough. So this becoming a platform to do that work and to learn, like, the interior Salish side, the teachings that they share, the differences and the similarities, and honoring all of that.
You mentioned during the tour that this is the first Salish art exhibition in the Bill Reed Gallery in quite some time. What does it mean to be focusing specifically on the Salish art tradition?
Yeah, in Vancouver, here in Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh territory, it means so much because we're in the heart of the Salish world here. And it's so important that people see the art that comes from the land represented here. Especially for me, it was really exciting to bring in artists from all different regions, from down in Washington State across the border, like with Paige Pettibon and Danielle Morissette, artists from the island, artists from the interior, from all different regions of the Salish world, bringing them all together and hosting them here is really meaningful, and it's been a huge honor to do that work.
Beyond the sort of geographical diversity, if you want to say that, in terms of the artists, you've also got, you know, early career artists, legends like Susan Point and etc. You talked during the tour about being told to go find knowledge keepers, and it really seems like in putting together this exhibit, you've sort of replicated some of those sort of like traditions that might have been passed down to you in terms of how a family is organized, how a community is organized. Does that ring true?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it was really like very important to us to bring together artists at all different stages of their careers, all different types of art practice. Like there's mixed media, there's video, there's painting, like installation and stuff. I really, like one thing that I really hope from this is that people come in and they might have pre-existing notions of what Salish art is, of what Native art is, that they come in and see this show and they have open eyes and open minds and learn something more about what it can be.
Were you surprised by anything, or did you learn anything in particular from putting together and curating the show?
Yeah, I think it's been a great learning experience, and like working with the artists so closely. Like the last exhibit that I did was more of a museum exhibit, and this is way more of an art exhibit. That's been such a wonderful learning experience, and just seeing the ways that people work in their process artistically, the different ways that they think about what they're making, what they're responding to, ways that curators can help artists, or times to step back, you know, and just let the work happen. That's all been a great learning experience for me, and I'm really grateful for that, and that I get to carry that forward now.
You're an artist yourself. Does curating a show like this, does it inspire you artistically? Like, are you all fueled up?
Yeah, I'm really fired up seeing all the cool stuff that people are doing. And, you know, I do a lot of digital art. I do mixed media stuff. But just seeing the really innovative ways that people are doing work, it gets me thinking, like, oh, I've got to get in the studio and I need to be pushing myself more and getting outside the box more.
Is there anything else you think people should know about the exhibit or yourself?
I don't know. I think just really, really hoping that people come out and they get to see all of these amazing artists. They get to learn something about Salish art and culture and the land that we're on here in Vancouver.
Just one last thing. What does it mean to have this exhibit in the Bill Reid Gallery in particular?
It's really important. Like the Bill Reid Gallery is such a significant site for Northwest Coast art in Vancouver. Sometimes I joke that it's the Haida Consulate in Vancouver. And I have a lot of Haida friends, and I know how important this place is as a hosting site for Northwest Coast art and culture in general. And so getting to have this exhibit here and work with Alia Bubart, who's the curator here, and the team has been really special.
Great. Thanks, Elliot.
Thank you.
Every River Has a Mouth is open now until February 14th, 2027, at the Bill Reid Gallery in Vancouver. After speaking with guest curator Elliot Whitehill, Cole Wasselton, I spoke with participating artists Sydney Pascal and Paige Pettibon.
Hi, I'm Sydney Pascal. I'm from the Wet Nation.
I'm Paige Pettibon, and I'm Bitterroot Salish.
How did you come to be a part of this exhibition? What was the process?
I was approached by Elliot, and there's an email saying, hey, can you be a part of this exhibition? And I was beyond honored and fell in love with the theme and title, and I mean, what a awesome moment to be at the Bill Reid Art Gallery, and an experience to come up and visit with my northern relatives as well. So, yeah, and Elliot has, we followed each other since, I don't know, 2020 maybe, on Instagram, and have just kind of like lifted each other up in our work, and just have been admirers of each other's work for a while now, at least by then. So, yeah.
You?
Elliot and I met at Emily Carr while we were both doing our MFAs, but we were in different programs and cohorts, and so we got to know each other, and I've got to see his practice begin from there and where he is now, and we've crossed paths a lot since we both live in this city, and yeah, same, I received an invitation, and I was excited because I'm really inspired by the work he does, and to take part of the stories and story he wants to share here, I felt very honored as well.
What, both in terms of the title, Every River Has a Mouth, and water as a theme, how did that speak to each of you?
Yeah, I guess salmon is a very important aspect of my culture in Mount Currie, and we honor the salmon every year, and it's an important food source in our lives, and so I felt it was easy to conjure inspiration from the title and what Elliot was hoping to achieve with this exhibition. And water is a big part of my work at all times, so.
Kind of a natural fit.
Yeah, and it was actually interesting as I got to meet the artists that were saying they're also part of this exhibition and how much they're relating to salmon or the water as well. There's lots of interconnections, and we seem to derive a lot of the same inspirations for things that are important in communities and culture.
Yeah, to piggyback on that, I have not been invited to a show that shows the vast culture of Salish identity, and I am so honored because often we're segregated as Coast Salish and Interior Salish, and when I think of Every River Has a Mouth, I think of these blue ties that bring us together and show relationality and how it goes out to the Salish Sea, and the Salish Sea receives that. And it's important to acknowledge, like you were saying, the fish that run through those rivers and how that food source has been able to sustain us since time immemorial. And so it's honoring land, it's honoring culture, it's honoring our relations with each other, whether we're interior or coast. And I really love the map that's included. I haven't seen that, and I'm always explaining what I mean by I'm Salish. People don't get it. They're like, I thought that was like a region, not a tribe. And so I started saying I'm Bitterroot Salish. So, you know, I've changed the language that I use to describe my identity often. So it feels very honoring of our diverse culture being a part of the show. And there's context for folks, which I think is really important right now.
For CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, I'm Jesse Wensloff.
This is a CHY News Update. Since the incorporation of the City of Nanaimo, many members of the Sinemuk First Nations have not been able to vote in municipal elections. Due to municipal boundaries around the Sinemuk's reserve lands, SFM members living on reserve cannot vote in municipal elections. Instead, at election time, they have voted for an Area A director with the Regional District of Nanaimo, alongside school trustees for the Nanaimo Ladysmith School District. Now, Sinemuk First Nations and the city have announced that they'll be seeking to request approval from the provincial government in initiating a municipal boundary change. This change would see Sinemuk First Nations reserve land included within the city of Nanaimo. Mayor Nanaimo Leonard Krogh said at a press conference on February 17th that this joint effort is to correct a historical anomaly.
Something that I didn't realize until I was mayor, that those who live down here in the heart of our city, the original inhabitants of this community who have occupied this land since time immemorial, voted for a regional director and school board, but not for the city mayor and council. I remember the shocking conversation I had with the chief Sinemuk Councillor Bill Yoakum was present as well, and I couldn't quite understand how this could be happening and why it is. So
Chief Michael Wise says this change is another meaningful way to further advance relationships between the Sinemuk First Nations and the city of Nanaimo.
The creation of Nanaimo goes back to the first Nanaimo ancestors, when our people welcomed the first newcomers to Nanaimo territory here on the east side of Vancouver Island and the Fraser River. Nanaimo is Nanaimo, and Nanaimo is Nanaimo. However, when boundary lines were arbitrarily drawn on a piece of paper Nanaimo was purposely left out of the municipal boundaries.
He says since he was elected as chief almost 9 years ago, he knew that he wanted to find ways to strengthen the connections with the city. Chief Wise says having these boundary lines redrawn will help correct the injustice of being excluded from voting municipally for the last 152 years.
It makes sense that Nanaimo people are able to vote in our territory, in a city that is named after us.
When the boundary lines are changed, this would mean roughly 800 Sinemuk First Nations members that live on reserve will be able to vote municipally for mayor and council. According to the BC Treaty Commission, the First Nations has approximately 1,900 members. As under the Local Government Act, for the city of Nanaimo to change boundary lines, they first must get approval from electors. This would mean either holding a referendum or conducting an alternative approval process, also known as an AAP. A report seeking approval to proceed with an electoral approval process will be brought forward on Monday, February 23rd, for mayor and council's consideration. Once the council receives electoral approval, the city can then ask the provincial government for approval for the boundary change. When asked by CHY, Mayor Krogh says counting on how the electoral approval process goes, and if the province moves quickly, they are hopeful that the boundary change could be in place in time for October's local elections. For CHY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This is CICK News. Today and Yesterday in Smithers is a conference that brings together some of the most technical and informative conversations happening in the Skeena region. It's curated by the Smithers Exploration Group and it's called Rock Talk, taking place from February 17th till today, February 19th. Rock Talk 2026 dives into British Columbia's most active exploration regions, the Northwest and North Central. This year's conference features a lineup of speakers covering epithermal and porphyry deposits, regional updates, and project highlights from across northern BC. I was there yesterday morning for a handful of presentations and interviews. Based on the Rock Talk 2026 presentations, the main areas of interest for mineral exploration highlighted in the conference program are district-scale and regionally significant exploration targets, including areas such as the Golden Triangle, which is a 500-kilometer mineral-rich, naturally stunning area stretching from Kitimat up to Atlin near the Yukon border. Sessions also cover the latest updates on regional permitting, land use planning, geological exploration training initiatives, and industry structures such as those from the Association for Mineral Exploration and regulatory updates. The voices that you'll hear today from the presentations begins with remarks from Ted Vanderwart, president of the Smithers Exploration Group, who welcomed attendees on behalf of the organization's board, as well as Mabel Forsyth, who represents the Wet'suwet'en Nation, followed with a territorial acknowledgement, which welcomed participants to Wet'suwet'en Yinta. The morning's political perspective came from Ellis Ross, MLA for Skeena, who emphasized the role of the private sector in strengthening Canada's economy and unlocking the Northwest's potential for mining, LNG, forestry, and port development. Smithers Mayor Gladys Attrill highlighted the municipality's support for responsible development and the importance of the Northwest Regional Benefit Alliance. The industry overview concluded with a regional exploration update from the British Columbia Geological Survey, noting record mineral exploration expenditures across BC, with significant activity concentrated in the Northwest. The following is a short collection of some of the speakers from yesterday. And next week, CICK News will air a full overview of the conference with interviews.
Welcome to our 37th annual Smithers Exploration Group Rock Talk. My name, for those who don't know me, is Ted Vanderwart, current president for Smithers Exploration Group. On behalf of our board and organization, we welcome everyone here who's made the trip and time to join us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mabel Forsyth, and my chief name is Timberwolf. I'm from the Gidimdan clan. This town sits on Gidimdan traditional territory, so I would like to welcome you to Gidimdan traditional territory.
My name is Ted Vanderwart, president of Smithers Exploration Group.
How are you feeling about the turnout, the presentations, and what's planned for these next 2 days?
Well, we have one of our highest turnouts this year, 97 delegates, so that's good news. We've seen a lot of exploration projects this year, so there's a lot of interest from outside. The talks are always very well received.
Nate's first talk showed there's an upward trend in mineral deposits. Does that reflect there's so many people here, or is it just that Rock Talks is growing?
The Golden Triangle, which is a very well-known, at least in our business, of a very mineral-rich area of the province. So it's always attracted a lot of the explorers and mines in proposal and operating mines.
So what does Smithers Exploration Group do?
Smithers Exploration Group is an advocacy group for the minerals industry in British Columbia. We do a lot of social component just for people in the industry. We have an outreach component for the public in general. That can include schools, it could be job fairs, showing opportunities within this industry and mining industry.
That's it for this week's Scoop. Catch us next week, Thursdays at 12 p.m. in Smithers, Thursdays at 4 p.m. in Burnaby, Fridays at 8 a.m. in Nanaimo, and weekdays at 7:30 in Prince George. The Scoop was made possible by funding from the Canadian government and the Local Journalism Initiative, a Community Radio Fund of Canada initiative.